And good morning to Zeke.
Howdy. How you doing?
I am very happy because I played this music, as you know.
I can see.
I'm still smiling. I'm like, yes, I finally played this. Yes, and the weather observation is going to be brought to you by Zeke today.
Yes, I'm going to do my best Margot impersonation.
The second one, because we had an exclusive
one last week. I did such a wonderful job.
Yes,
figured you'd bring me back.
Yes.
Yeah, it's currently minus 10 degrees, and it's foggy. Barometric pressure is 101.7 kilopascals, and it's rising, which means it's going to be good weather. But because of the fog, you can only see 1 kilometer, unless, of course, your glasses are dirty, in which case you can't see a darn thing. The humidity is at 92%. The wind is coming from the west-northwest at 5 kilometers an hour, which means that the wind chill is down at minus 13. Today, it's going to be cloudy with a 40% chance of flurries early this morning, then a mix of sun and cloud. Fog patches are dissipating this morning. The high is going up to a balmy minus 3. However,
I love it when it's balmy and minus 3.
However, there is a smog warning in effect. It got issued at 5:51 this morning. And that is because there is no, west-northwest at 5 kilometers an hour is effectively no wind. And so as a consequence, all the smog in the city, because everybody else out there who drives, they sort of add to stuff and it makes it difficult for other people to breathe. So if you have any, respiratory ailments or difficulties or asthma, stay indoors. The sunrise was 5 minutes ago at 7:31. The sunset is at 4:13. Yesterday, we went up to a 4.4 was the high. Minus 11.3 was the low. And normals at this time of year are minus 4 and minus 12. For the rest of the week, it's going to be some cloudy on Tuesday and Wednesday with a little bit of snow and stuff like that, sort of like what we've been getting for the past week and so. But then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday look like they're going to be sunny. There's a little yellow thing that's jumping out there in the weather thing from Environment Canada, and I'm not certain I recognize what it is. It's been so long since I've seen it.
Thank you, Zeke.
No problem. My pleasure.
Very detailed. Be careful of the smog. Still around in the winter.
Hold your breath.
Yes. And now we're going to go chat with you about art.
Yes.
From weather to art.
Art and sort of exhibitions, because I actually saw some stuff that would not be considered visual art. It's like, over the weekend, went with a friend down to the Musée d'Art Contemporain. Then we went to the Science Center. Then we went to Pointe-à-Calière.
And Pointe-à-Calière has a lot of different exhibits going on.
No, they just have their permanent exhibit and then one other exhibit.
Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
I thought there was a bunch of different ones this year. But
the Science Center has a bunch of different. I was very surprised. It was the first time I'd ever been to the Science Center. And you want me to start with the good, the bad, or the indifferent?
Ooh, Sabrina has a pick as well. You're going to say Sabrina? Good morning, Sabrina. I'm sorry, can you say that again?
What is up with these mics?
Well, it's because you have like three there. I don't know which one you're talking on.
Goodness gracious.
You're getting them all tangled up.
You know what? Forget it. It's all good. I don't know what's going on.
I kind of like this whole new category of indifferent.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's a new category that emerged right now.
Yes.
What is going on with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there it's a sort of thing. So you want to hear about the indifferent one. There it's at the Musée d'Art Contemporain. They have an exhibit, and its title is Blue.
You're indifferent about blue?
Well, no, it's the sort of thing. It's one thing to have contemporary art where you then have the cliche that my six-year-old could do that.
Oh.
It's another thing. It's taking it to an entirely new level when you have an exhibition where my six-year-old could curate it.
Ooh.
And it is the sort of thing, blue. So what they did was they had somebody go through their collection and pull out pieces of work. Marie-Ève Beaupré was the guest curator. She went through their collection, and they stuck up, I don't know, about 35 pieces of art that they had that are blue.
So you're indifferent about it.
Actually, to be honest, I'm way indifferent is probably being very diplomatic about it.
Neutral.
It's as I think about it, it's just so ridiculously silly, stupid, dumbing down the concept of contemporary art to some sort of like, it's suitable for a six-year-old. There is one saving grace about it, and that is, I think, because it's in a different room, because it's got to be in a different room, but there's this James Turrell piece in there that is absolutely spectacular. spectacular and fabulous and wonderful. And I saw it the first time back in like 1987 or so when it showed up for the Saint Jean de l'Art Contemporain. Oh. And they have decided to reinstall it. And since you need definitely a sense of discovery for it, and if you don't have that sense of discovery, you sort of go, oh, okay, whatever. But if you sort of like inquire in and you sort of check out stuff and you look at how it's made, then you just, your head explodes. It's absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, if anybody wants details and stuff like that because they can't make it to the museum, but yeah, the exhibition, Blue, is going on until March 27th, so you do have a bit of time, but feel free to email, and at which point I can explain to you the details. But I highly, highly, highly recommend you go see the James Turrell. Yeah, you can skip the rest of it. You can hang out, I don't know, for probably about 20 minutes in the room with the James Turrell piece. It's absolutely mind-bogglingly spectacular. They also have this thing called the Sobey Art Awards, and yeah, there it's the sort of thing that... yeah. Brendan Lee Satash Tang does some wicked cool stuff. He is the West Coast representative for the Sobey, because that's the award where the guys who do the grocery stores decided they were going to make nice and give out $50,000 a year to an artist, a Canadian artist under the age of 40.
Was that the Sotheby's award?
No, Sobey's.
Oh, Sobey's.
You know, as in like the grocery store?
Yes.
Okay.
The grocery chain.
The grocery chain, yes. Mm-hmm. And, Brendan Lee Satash Tang combines ceramics and,
tiles.
Electronic objects, sort of like PlayStations and MP3 players, and so on. Very, very nicely done. The rest of it, yeah, there's the Emily Vade Duke and Cooper's Batterby piece, which talks about having lesbian sex with gorillas, but is not particularly interesting of and beyond that sort of like joke.
Is that what she or he sells it as? I don't remember which artist you just mentioned there.
Emily Vade Duke and Cooper's Battersby. It's two of them. And they have this video there talking about much more lesbian sex with a gorilla. Lesbian bestiality with a gorilla,
what?
I think would be the term.
Are you serious, or are you making this up?
No, I'm dead serious.
I really question sometimes things you say, Zeke.
Everybody should question everything, not only what I say, but everything.
Is it real? Sometimes I do some research after, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Hold on. Zeke? Are you accusing me of fabricating stuff?
And I'm not saying that you're fabricating stuff. I'm just saying sometimes. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let our listeners think for themselves.
As it says here, its finalists for the Atlantic region have been working collaboratively since 1994, focusing mainly on video installation. Their work explores grand ideas such as innocence, good and evil, and the human relationship to the natural world. And in this case, it is bestiality.
Okay, well, okay. As I said, moving on to other conversations. Yeah,
go see the James Turrell at the Musée d'Art Contemporain.
Right, okay.
It's up until March 27th.
Okay, and that's at Musée d'Art Contemporain, as you said, right?
Yes, okay. 185 St. Catherine Street,
and
West.
Now you said another, one that's good and one that's bad for the other two. So Pointe-à-Calière?
Musée d'Art Contemporain was the bad one.
Oh, okay, that means the Science Center and Pointe-à-Calière were good.
No, there's one that's indifferent.
Oh, so, okay, the Musée d'Art Contemporain was not indifferent. I changed
my mind.
Okay, you changed your mind.
I changed my mind.
Okay, so...
The Pointe-à-Calière, which I hadn't been to in probably about... It opened in 92. Probably was there in 92, which means it's been 18 years since I've been there. And it is a very, very cool place. It's their permanent collection. It's definitely worth a gander, I don't know, probably once a decade or so. So I've got to go back and probably... Yeah, I got to go back so as to get my average down. But there they have temporary exhibit called St. Catherine Street Makes the Headlines, and it's up until April 24th. So you all have lots of time to go see it. And it's a nice little sort of, frou-frou, bonbon. The French have a way nicer way of saying it. It's sort of like a nice little thing that just is sort of like not terribly... intellectually difficult to get, and it's nice, lighthearted fun, silly kid stuff. And yeah, it has lots of old pictures. There's a wonderful picture of, what is it, Yvon Cornway and Sarah Savard in, what is it, bell-bottom polyester suits celebrating the Montreal Canadiens Stanley Cup win in like 1978, standing on something on St. Catherine Street. They have another thing where they have two videos going on, which are basically a car driving down St. Catherine Street, and it's fun because it's just two silent ones, and they're rather large video things, and they then you get to see, oh, that's I recognize where we are, and it's that whole, again, come back to that sense of discovery where it's you sort of see this video and you say, I recognize
what rediscovery
of the city. I really wished is that they had one from like say the 60s or the 70s and one from now, and that they had synchronized them so that they were both going at the same time and you could see the changes, but no such luck. They got lots and lots of other artifacts and so on. They have a whole section dedicated to Lily St. Cyr and the theaters of Montreal, because back in the 40s and 50s, Montreal had lots and lots of standalone theaters. It's one of the sort of things that I've done as calculations, is the actual number of movie screens in downtown Montreal has stayed relatively the same.
How's that possible?
Oh, there it's. You destroy a whole whack of theaters, and then you put up these multiplexes.
Oh, I see.
And so it's now you have the AMC, which has 22 screens, and you have, what is it, the Scotiabank Paramount Behemoth Monstrosity thing that has like another 16, which means you got 38, and then there's some, I think at one point I counted somewhere about 47 screens in downtown Montreal, and then you go back in sort of to the 60s, and you realize there are 47 theaters.
There are screens, but who has access to those screens? It's always the same film.
Well, no, and you, what, you thought
that the distributors.
You thought that the theaters were independently owned and operated?
Not that, but back then there was a different type of film industry happening.
No,
very different. Film wasn't accessible to just anybody back
yes,
in the day.
Oh,
no, it was not.
It was much
information
more
film
it was much
was
more accessible. To
information
everybody.
Film was, but not the stylistic filmmaking that was very selective. You could not just go and pick up a camera. You could go pick up a camera. You could go film on a 16mm if you wanted to, or 8mm even if you wanted to, and document that. But to be able to develop that and do a feature-length film, very, very costly even back in the day. You had to be a special person that had special people working with special crew and equipment and lights and a heck of a lot of lights and a lot of different types of equipment to be able to make a film. So, yeah, we're not going to go into this conversation.
And at which point... There's a whole different other part of the cinema where it was a sort of, as far as being accessible to everybody, I was thinking in terms of the public.
Oh.
Where right now it's a sort of thing where...
Also about accessible for filmmakers.
And at which point it's still not accessible to everybody to make films and stuff like that. That's why the internet
is
so wonderful.
Now.
But it, no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Totally isn't.
Anyhow, we can...
Anyway, yes, so this is another debate that we're looking into Sabrina's time now. Sorry, Sabrina.
It's fine.
And yes.
So okay, so this was the Pointe à Calière. Yeah, very nice historical overview of
yes,
Montreal.
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Then there's the wonderful one.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Which is an exhibition at the Science Center, which I'd never been to before. And it's recommended for ages 12 and up, and it's called Sex, a Tell-All Exhibition. And it goes until March 6th. And I highly recommend you don't walk, run down to the Science Center, especially now when it's sort of like the Christmas season, because just about everybody and their mother and their grandmother is going out Christmas shopping. So the Science Center is empty.
Ooh.
It is, there's nothing there. And it is the sort of thing where they also have this glass exhibit and they got other stuff, but the sex one is absolutely phenomenal, where it's basically, it's interactive. It's got stuff that if it was not in the Science Center, would be considered child pornography. They also, it's the sort of thing where they talk about gay stuff. They have an interactive exhibit of how you get a hard-on.
Wow.
Uh-huh. It's very, very, very cool. They have touch-o-meter things, which explains the different nerve endings on how you sense or your sensations of touch. And where the difference between heat and the ones that do the small stuff and the ones that do the big stuff and so on. And I can't recommend it highly enough. It is phenomenal. The Science Center is down at the bottom of Saint Laurent, just below Place Jacques Cartier. And the disappointing thing with the Science Center is that... you okay there?
Yeah.
Sabrina's adding her own soundtrack to our conversation.
Yeah, the disappointing thing is that it's for adults, it's $12 to go see it. For adolescents, who are really the ones who it's aimed at, $11. So it's like a whole buck difference. Oh. But anyhow, it is. And then also down there, once you're down in Old Montreal, I saw two absolutely spectacular Christmas trees. There's the one that is at the Science Center. It's you push a button, and everything goes wild. It is 15, 20 feet high.
Don't you wish you had that at home? Just press this button, everything comes.
It was the sort of thing where, given that it was created by like people who aren't sort of technophiles and stuff like that, and don't know their way around a soldering iron, and they tell it's a 10-year-old Christmas tree, and this shows you I've never been out at the Science Center because I assume they exhibit it every year, but it is the sort of thing that made me immediately want to go home and make one.
Well, thank you, Zeke.
And the second Christmas tree, which is the one that is at Pointe à Calière, which is all gold with sparkly stuff.
So there's one at Pointe à Calière, too.
Yeah,
that is an important point.
In Place Royale. So it's outdoors. You don't have to pay the fee. But yeah, between the Christmas tree at Pointe à Calière and the Christmas tree at the Science Center, my heart almost doesn't become Grinch-like.
That's quite a statement, Zeke. Thank you for this alternate art perspective.
No problem.
On these three different places.
Yeah, go see Sex and James Turrell.
Oh, there you go. Maybe you'll feel blue after you go see that Sex installation at IMAX.
Just James Turrell.
No, James Turrell. Yes. All right, very good.
I'm going to make a really bad pun about feeling blue when you go see that. Anyway, and that's another story.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
I could see that you were participating with us during this conversation.
I added a soundtrack. I apologize for that.
No, that's fine. I was looking forward for you to
Cling clang
to actually participate more into it, but I guess you want to go about it sonically, which is always nice. It's always welcome.
Experiment in sound.